Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Closer to God, A 40-Day Pursuit of God's Personal Presence by Jeannie Cunyon. Narrated by Jeannie Cunyon. Key passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Introduction. I still want more, God. This devotional was born from that prayer, and this is the story behind it. Several years ago, I experienced a fresh longing for God. This longing wasn't birthed out of a special situation or a particular hardship, as much as it was just an increasing awareness of how much I need him, and a growing gratitude for his incomparable love. The longer I follow Jesus, the more aware I become of what an absolute miracle it is that he loves me and gave his life to rescue me. My longing led me to pray simple but sincere prayers like, I want all of you, God. I want to know you better. I want to rely on you more. I want all you will give of yourself to me. Whatever it takes, have your way in me. God answered my prayers, which I now understand he himself birthed in me, by creating a deep curiosity about the Holy Spirit within me. While I understood the Holy Spirit had been dwelling in me since the day I put my trust in Jesus almost 40 years earlier, I had very little understanding of the magnitude of his role in my life. So essentially, God was preparing to reintroduce me to the one I'd been neglecting, so I could enjoy the benefits of his presence that I'd been forfeiting. He was inviting me not only to know, but also to experience his personal presence in me in a radically new way. Over the last several years, as I've experienced more of his personal presence by welcoming the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, I've increasingly desired to go deeper still, not to get things from God, but to get more of God. The more I've longed for is God himself, his presence. And what's beautifully clear in Scripture, which God highlighted for me in my longing for him, is that the path to God's personal presence is paved with the practicing of repentance and the pursuit of holiness. Yes, repentance and holiness, two good things that often get a bad rap, but that are actually utterly life-giving and freedom-bringing. I should mention that I was raised as a preacher's kid in a home that very much taught me these truths. I had what you might call a healthy relationship with repentance and a solid understanding of the Christian's call to holiness. But what I didn't appreciate until the Spirit illuminated it is that the deeper intimacy I craved with God would be an invitation to exalt King Jesus in areas of my life that I hadn't truly surrendered. It was as if God was asking me, how much do you want more intimacy with me? What self-centered living still needs to be surrendered to me? This isn't about striving to live perfectly. Far from it, my friend. This is about allowing the perfection of Jesus that covers us to wreck us and purify our desires and draw us into his presence and conform us into his likeness. God's love for us isn't based on our loyalty to him. Jesus took care of that. Please hear me say, I still miss the mark every day in a myriad of ways. I will never outgrow my need for grace. I only become more aware of how desperately I need it. And this awareness is what creates in me a desire to go deeper still. See, though you and I may not personally know each other, we can be sure of this one thing about each other. We were created with a desire for a deep life. Our souls long to know and be known by God, to be in intimate, deeply personal, vibrant relationship with the divine. We were made to both stand in the awe of his holiness and relax our shoulders in the safety of his love. You are not the exception to this truth. I am not the exception to this truth. There is no asterisk to this sentence, pointing us to the fine print at the end of this book, explaining why certain people don't qualify for or desire a deeper life with God. Everything we chase or fix our attention on is an attempt to satisfy a longing, a deep-seated ache, a groaning to know God's wondrous withness. But sadly, the message that in him alone, alone, will our unsatisfied souls find satisfaction can become so familiar that it gets lost on us, or we become numb to it because we've chosen to keep chasing lesser things. I know, might be our instinctual response to being told we were designed to enjoy a deep life with God. Meanwhile, many of us are sleepwalking our way through our relationship with him. But I believe the Spirit of God desires to awaken us to a relationship with God that is marked by awe and anticipation of his activity in our lives. The Spirit of God desires to, and is fully able to, help us experience God intimately, to know how beautiful and beyond comprehension the assurance of his presence truly is. I've written this devotional to help us cultivate intimacy with God, to know, really know, his withness. We will discover what God says will draw us deeper into his presence, and how we can invite the lover of our souls to have his rightful place in our lives. But for us to enjoy his glorious presence, we will need the Holy Spirit to create in us the same holy hunger, humility, and posture of heart that Paul had when he penned our key passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, printed at the beginning of this devotional for easy reference. Let's go through it together. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. This is the passage on which we will build and the one to which we will often return. We will pray that Jesus, by his Spirit, will allow us to know him and the power of his resurrection, as we read in verse 10, in a fresh and profound way, that we would, like Paul, see how the worth of knowing Christ, being found in him, and being covered in his righteousness surpasses all else we seek, and that a deeper life in his presence will be ours through the Holy Spirit. Our openness to the Holy Spirit will be essential throughout these 40 days together because a primary role of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus increasingly beautiful and irresistible to us. The Holy Spirit increases and intensifies our awareness of God's witness and leaves us awe-stricken at the life-altering intimacy of the Trinity we are invited into when we put our trust in Jesus. This is what the Spirit is doing in me as I grow, albeit often slowly and sometimes stubbornly, in my willingness to yield to his leadership in my life. I am so grateful for and humbled by this, and I want to assure you of something you will find reiterated throughout this devotional. I surrender all to Jesus because he laid down his life to save me and to make me a new creation in him, crowning me with the identity of a child of the King. So I am going to use whatever breath he continues to put in my lungs to help us encounter our living God who loves us with a breathtaking love, to shine the light on the wondrous and glorious gift of himself. He is worthy of our full adoration because he gave us his son to bring us back into intimate relationship with him. Relationship that, by the way, we ruined. He could have chosen rejection, but instead he chose rescue. What unfathomable love he has for us. He didn't give us his son to keep us at arm's length. He gave us Jesus to bring us back into the intimacy of his presence. Now, before we dig in, can we name the elephant in the room? Putting the word intimacy and Jesus in the same sentence makes some of us squirm, awkward, because of the physical, even sexual connotation that intimacy carries. So I'm going to give us the definition of intimacy with a lot of other descriptive words to help us usher the elephant out of the room and back to the zoo, or I guess I should say the savanna. Intimacy is the state of being in a very personal relationship. It's that normal. Words similar to intimacy include close familiarity, friendship, fellowship, companionship, togetherness, belonging, love, nearness, mutual affection, closeness. These are the words that I pray will characterize our relationship with God at the close of our 40 days, because this is the life we were made for. I'm excited to go deeper still with you into the beauty and mystery of intimacy with God. What can you expect? Come ready for a feast, a substantive meal to linger over. Growing closer to God requires time spent with God. Vibrancy and depth come from time in his presence, not from checking the boxes. I can say that with confidence because I've tried the latter approach. It doesn't work. Over the next 40 days, we will engage with daily devotionals that will invite us to practice repentance that leads to the refreshment of our souls, pursue holiness that leads to a freedom we've never known, personally enjoy the intimacy of God's presence, participate in the Holy Spirit's transforming work in our lives, and prize Jesus above all else. Word and Spirit. At the end of each day, we will respond to a Word and Spirit journal prompt, acknowledging that both God's Word and His Spirit are essential to a deeper, more intimate life with Him. I will ask you to consider what the Holy Spirit is stirring in you or speaking to you each day. So I want to say this. If this practice is unfamiliar to you, or maybe even sounds strange to you, that's okay. It's more than okay. Don't force it. But I beg you to be open to it. This is a process. We are doing this devotional together to learn this practice. And I'm hopeful that at the culmination of our 40 days, it will feel comfortable and even desirable. I will also be giving you tools as we go for how we can assess if what we are sensing from the Holy Spirit actually is the Holy Spirit. We will always test what we sense with what the Word says. And finally, at the conclusion of our 40 days together, hopefully we will have not only memorized our key passage with our minds, but we will mean it with our whole hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus, let it be so. Are you ready to go deeper into the enjoyment of his presence? Me too. Let's do this. Day one. Why can I experience intimacy with God? I'm guessing the question we each come asking is likely not why can we experience intimacy with God, but how. We want to know how to have a vibrant and deeper life with God. We want to know how our daily lives can be filled with a sense of his witness. These are such good questions that we are about to answer. But before we answer how, we need to appreciate why. Why can we experience intimacy with God the Father? God the Son. Jesus is why. Without the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, we would still be enemies of God, deserving wrath, spiritually dead in our sin. Not only would we not be invited into intimate relationship with God, we would have no relationship with God at all. The Apostle Paul doesn't dance around this truth when he writes, "As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verse 10. I'm giving the bad news first. Not the smartest way to start a devotional I want you to finish, But stay with me, it gets really good. Not a single one of us is righteous on our own merit. Show me the most saintly person you know, still not righteous enough to experience relationship with God. Sin, which means to miss the mark, through our deliberate decision to disregard God's perfect standard of holiness, created separation from God. Broken relationship caused by our rebellion. Paul continues, ultimately giving the good news. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Jesus literally means God saves. God gives us eternal salvation through his Son, Jesus. And when we received this gift through faith, we get to enjoy an intimate relationship with him today. A.W. Tozer wrote, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And I'd agree, but I'd also encourage us to take it a step further and consider this question. What comes into our minds when we think about the most important things about us? That's what got me thinking about the way we introduce ourselves. For example, when we meet someone new, we tend to share the essentials first. Maybe we say where we live or what we enjoy doing or how we make a living. Maybe we share about our spouse and kids. But if being a child of the King is the most important thing, how do I weave that into the introduction without putting an abrupt end to it? You know what I mean. Well, I decided to try it out at a women's retreat when it was my turn to introduce myself to the group. I started with what feels like the most important thing. My name is Jeannie, and I'm a daughter of King Jesus. Then I continued with the details one would expect. I've been married to my husband Mike for 20 years, and we have 5 boys who range from 7 to 27. Our oldest son grew up in an orphanage in Haiti, a place we visit annually that holds a very special place in our hearts. We also have a golden retriever named Buddy, who doesn't retrieve, but does bring us so much life. Introducing myself as someone who is loved by Jesus felt right. Yes, I was in a group of women who also know they are loved by Jesus, so it was safe. But the truth is, belonging to him is the best and most important thing about me. I don't say that because I have a particularly intriguing testimony of rescue. I just know that each one of us, no matter how little or much we have strayed from God's holy standard, is doomed without him. We'd have to face the bleak and difficult realities of this broken world without his strength, comfort, hope, joy, and love, and we'd have no hope of heaven. Believing that belonging to Jesus is the best thing about us happens when we were honest about the depth of our depravity, who we are without the righteous covering of Christ, and where we'd be if Jesus hadn't rescued us from the path of destruction. Jesus, now and for eternity, gives us life and peace, and it's unlikely we will ever be compelled to count everything as loss compared with the worth of knowing Jesus, as Paul proclaims in our key passage. Unless his sacrifice for us becomes so real to us that it wrecks us in the most beautiful way. Jesus took the brunt of our sin. He was crucified on the cross, his sinless life given so that we might not only have eternal life, but also enjoy personal, intimate relationship with him on this side of heaven. When relationships go awry because a person in that relationship messed up, who would we expect to make it right? We typically expect the offender to take action to restore the relationship. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we are the ones who messed it up. Sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden and severed the relationship, and there was nothing we could do to restore it. No resume of good deeds and generous living was long enough to bridge the gap between his holiness and our unholiness, between his perfection and our imperfection. Well, actually, it isn't accurate to say there is no thing we can do. There is one thing, and it's actually the only thing. The Apostle Paul tells us what that is. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, New International Version. While we were still spiritually dead in our sin, God, the offended, sent Jesus to reconcile us to himself and restore the broken relationship. It's entirely because of Jesus that we can have intimate relationship with God. So the one thing we can do is receive, by grace through faith, the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. When we accept this gift, Christ's righteousness becomes ours, instantly and eternally. Fully God and fully man, Jesus lived a sinless life and suffered a brutal death to pay the price for our rebellion and sin. But on the third day, he did just as he said he would do. He defeated death and rose again. Oh yes, this is the power of his resurrection Paul talks about in our key passage. Reconciling us to God and closing the divide between our unrighteousness and God's righteousness. Intimacy with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is a free gift given to every person who puts their trust in the finished work of Christ. Jesus, whose name is above every other name, deserves our wholehearted adoration and praise. We choose whom or what we will worship on this side of heaven. Will it be him? The one who made a way for us to have a life-altering and loving relationship with God. The one in whom every longing of the human heart is fulfilled. The one in whom all the promises of God find their yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. One day every knee will bow to his authority. One day every mouth will confess his lordship. And one day when he returns, he will make everything exactly as it was meant to be. Until then, we have been invited into intimacy with the Father through Christ's obedience to the Father. Jesus did it all. He loves you that much. He desires relationship with you that deeply. I pray that sincere gratitude so saturates our hearts that we are compelled to give him complete access to our lives in the days ahead. May we invite him to have his way in us so that we may know God's abiding presence in us. Word. For further study, read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Notice how Paul addresses the essentiality of each member in the Trinity in our salvation. Journal your observations. Spirit. What do you sense the Holy Spirit stirring in you from your reading today? Pray and invite him to increase your gratitude for the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ alone. Day 2. How can I experience intimacy with God? I'm going to get right to the point. I hope it doesn't sound too abrupt, but it matters too much. Here it is. A deeply close relationship with God, one in which you enjoy his witness and are sustained by his strength, is something the enemy of your soul is wholeheartedly committed to seeing you forego. It's true. Of all the things the enemy does not want you to experience, and there are a lot, intimacy with God is at the top of that list. It's that significant in your life of faith. If we have an enemy actively working against our knowing God's witness, we need to be clear on how we pursue and enjoy him. The answer to how is the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to ensure you know to whom you belong and to help you enjoy the benefits of this belonging. We get to live in intimate relationship with God the Father because of God the Son through God the Spirit. The good news doesn't end at Jesus' death and resurrection that reconciled us to God. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to the Father. But before he left, he said this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Sure enough, Jesus did as he promised. He always does. 10 days after his ascension, he sent his Spirit not only to dwell with us, but to live in us. See, something that often gets overlooked and undervalued is that Jesus, during his ministry on earth, had the full power of his Spirit in him. And then, after he ascended to the Father, he sent that same Spirit to live in and operate through us. The same Spirit who filled Jesus fills you and me today. Come on, that's wild, but true. How does this happen? When we put our trust in Jesus, God places his Spirit in us to help us live in confidence of everything that is ours in Jesus. As Paul explains, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, New International Version. The truth that we, by faith, receive the promise of the Spirit when we put our trust in Jesus is the part of the salvation narrative that isn't always told, and I don't believe this oversight is intentional, at least not usually. For example, we've all seen how athletes write Bible verses on their bodies to tell people about the gospel. In 2009, Tim Tebow wrote John 3:16 on his cheek during the BCS National Championship game, making it the most popular search term for more than 24 hours. And I think that's amazing. Yes, get out there and make your face a billboard for his grace. But can we consider putting John 3:16 on the left cheek and Acts 2:38 on the right cheek? Too much? That way, after someone Googles John 3:16 and reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life," they'll Google Acts 2:38 and read, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Or athletes could put 1 Corinthians 3:16 on their right cheek. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Or Romans 8:11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Any of these will do. The point is, with the free gift of our eternal salvation comes the free gift of the indwelling power of God. They are inseparable, a package deal. So yes, use your face or your car bumper or your IG profile to make much of Jesus. But don't forget the free gift of enjoying the personal presence and power of God today. We freely receive salvation and the Spirit. New birth, new life, new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. We are now Spirit people, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, transformed by the Spirit. But if we don't know this to be true, we keep living as self people, filled with the all-sufficient Spirit, but led by the insufficient self, fueled by the flesh, exhausted, and unchanged. We cannot live like Christ without the power of Christ. Hold on, listen to that again. We have no shot at living in our new identities as Spirit people without the Spirit's power. And we cannot enjoy the deeply personal, tender, and powerful presence of God without welcoming the Spirit of Christ. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are home to the Holy Spirit. But let's be honest, a lot of us are a little nervous about making him feel welcome in his own home. Let's talk about why that's so. Have you ever made an assumption about somebody you didn't know? Maybe the assumption was based on what you heard about them through a mutual friend, or maybe it was based on something you read about them, or maybe it was just based on how you'd observe them from afar. We've all done it, and we often do it with people who intimidate us, or people who feel inaccessible to us, or who seem to hold more influence or power than we do. And sometimes our assumptions prove to be correct.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?